Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 podcast. 10, 9, 8, 76ers podcast. Sorry, guys. I know this is a wrestling podcast, but my team just traded for Tobias Harris. I'm a little excited about it. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the man who's out of songs about wrestling. I can't think of them anymore. I feel like I've done a lot of them. I'm going to dig back in.
I thought you were going to do Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You want me to go back?
No.
Spend my days working hard on the pond. Or do you want the podcast? You want like the old? There you go. There's your double J.
Thank you.
Do we have to? All right, never mind. I'm the castmaster, Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the bus buster, Danielle Radford.
Factually untrue.
And big Lindsay Langston / Kelk. I had to work Kelk in there. I'm sorry, Julian.
Did I get married? Amazing.
The Kelk streak has been
broken. I could do so much worse.
Well, we just got it off the notebook where he's been writing what your name would look
like. Shush, Hal. That's just for me.
Sorry. I'm sorry. We have a special guest here. He's the content editor for the website Black Nerd Problems. It's Omar, the whole damn Shomar Holman. Omar, thanks for joining us.
Ooh, love that.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, Omar, tell us a little bit about your wrestling fandom.
I saw my uncle when I came to New Jersey. My uncle was watching Monday Night Raw, I believe. And then I was like, hey, I'm going to keep following that. I also followed WCW. I got into it again recently because a friend suggested watching Ember Moon. And I was like, oh, well, I'm back in. That was about 2 years ago. I'm like, oh, I'm all in again now.
Solid
nice.
Friend recommendation.
Yeah, man.
Well, great. Well, let's jump right in then. There was a football game last Sunday, and it sucked. So we're not going to talk about it. But
why would we on this wrestling podcast?
Why would we?
We only talk about them when certain teams' fans eat poop.
That's right.
If there's no poop fans, we don't talk about
Considering that one of the people on that winning team is probably going to be a wrestler in the next 2 or 3 years, I think it kind of
has appeared in a WWE ring at WrestleMania.
We don't know. Fun stat from that game, the last team to throw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl was the Philadelphia Eagles. But we had halftime heat. WWE brought it back. No empty arena match this time. Instead, we got a live match from Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black, and Ricochet taking on Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and Adam Cole. How do you have a bad match with those six?
It was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted out of a halftime heat. Like I don't need it to be like fancy WWE production. I don't need any of that stuff. I need a good match that shows people who might be tuning in because they're curious, especially since the actual halftime fucking sucked. Mm-hmm. that shows them how good NXT is.
Yeah.
I don't need them to watch the main product.
No.
This is just something, and it's something quick I can show people to be like, this is how good this thing I like is.
It was so clever. I just thought, I could not get over how smart it was, and that sounds really condescending, but I was like, well done, WWE.
Right.
Someone gets a prize or a raise. One or the other. Probably not a raise. Probably a prize. Probably something they don't want. But I just thought it was so smart. When I was thinking about it, it's like all those people that are at Super Bowl parties at their buddy's house, and their buddy is like, I don't want to watch Maroon 5 again for reasons disclosed already on this podcast, but let's watch this halftime heat thing. And how many dudes and lady dudes and friends of friends ended up watching that show, watching guys they can only see on the network, and then went home and subscribed to the network? It's genius, and it was well done, and it was fun. And also, I just love Velveteen Dream, and this is now a Velveteen Dream podcast of just loving him.
Sure. I'm 100% on board with that. Omar, what'd you think?
I loved it entirely. It also showed a lot of like character development for Velveteen Dream, because mm-hmm. this is like the one time where he's like actually like sharing the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And he's not like, there wasn't any like riffing back, like in character, there wasn't any like arguing with his people or anything like that. Like he wasn't like a pompous heel or anything. It was like, oh, this is one part of NXT and this is one trifecta in NXT. And my favorite part is like after the match, they're like doing like a closing promo. It looked like a rapper's like they're about to cipher and it's going back and forth. It was incredible. And Ricochet was just doing ad libs in the back. Oh, you can try and beat us, but you can't. You can try. It's so good.
How
it was so great.
He's so good at flipping.
It's his best thing.
He's very good at flipping, and the talking is getting there.
Yeah.
His strong core. It's the core. That's the secret to it all.
I love when he says homeboy. Whenever he says homeboy, it does something for me. I don't know what it is. It does something for me. Look at homeboy. I'm like, oh, he said it. He did the thing.
I remember his name is Trevor. That's who I only adopted. My granddad was called Trevor.
Man.
And I'm always like, come on, Trev. But bless him, yeah.
Yeah. We also learned through a leak that there's going to be an international superstar shakeup that's taking place, I believe,
yes,
in Montreal.
Yes, the week
is that
after
right?
Mania.
It's going to be the week after Mania, mm-hmm. So it won't be immediately after because that is just a banana shit show.
Yeah, because you just have to write Raw after Mania off these days.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But,
sadly.
But the next week they will do it international, which could be a reference to just to its location, but could also be a reference to some international superstars maybe making their way up, like a Pete Dunne. People who perhaps
that's
were...
That's time. It's right. It's time.
Yeah.
Because he's going to drop showcased to Walter, right, at TakeOver in Brooklyn.
I would imagine it's about time. He's done everything he could do with that title. There's not much else. Putting the NXT title on him, he's great. It would make sense, but I don't think...
It doesn't elevate
He's not
him.
Needed. He doesn't need that title.
Nope.
Putting him on SmackDown specifically, and having him feud with guys like Andrade...
And only SmackDown.
Imagine him and Daniel Bryan having a match.
I would love to see him against Daniel Bryan, but I would love to see him come for the U.S. title and sit first and put some prestige on that title. Because he could say, I was the U.K. champion for... Because it's not the NXT U.K. belt. It's the WWE U.K. championship.
Right.
Yeah.
So he could say, I've been the U.K. championship. Now I want the U.S. championship. And then you move up to the world championship. And that would be an amazing... direction of him, I think that would be amazing. I'm like, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it.
How nice would that U.S. title look hanging out of his mouth?
Oh, it would look,
wouldn't
so
it look great.
All mouth titles from now on.
Yep.
Yeah. I just think
that's my new fetish.
That should be part of the tryout.
I hope he doesn't have.
Can if you hold a title in your mouth?
If he has any fillings, all I can imagine
he
is
he might
like
be one
middle,
of the only
middle.
Brits that's capable. I mean, I've been in braces for 4 years since I got to LA. They were like, get your nasty British teeth out of this town.
We actually, it's not just Brits, it's everyone. We actually assign you braces when you come in.
Noted.
It's either braces or it's going to be some porcelain fills.
Yeah, that's it. You have to choose. Let's talk about this week, what's happened so far. We did miss out on something from last week, though, before we do that, which is this mic work from Samoa Joe. Let's hear a clip.
I ain't asking for permission. I came to put a champion to sleep. And I suggest all four of you get out of my way. And trust me, Randy, I know I need to size up with you. And when I defang the Viper, trust me, ain't going to come from nowhere. Jeff, I already put you out. I don't even know why you're out here right now. Keep on talking, Jeff. Hey, do me a favor. Why don't you act like this is an AA meeting and you shut your mouth while I'm sharing with the group? And Mustafa, you out here a boy among men. And I'm going to tell you what. You got lucky at the Rumble, so I know you're gonna come out here and run your mouth about how bad you are. But let me leave you a little bit of a reality check. You see, Mustafa, you said that my eyes don't lie. Well, your eyes don't lie either, because last week, they were closed real tight when I put your simple ass to sleep. And AJ, hey man, be honest with me. How's our old girl Wendy doing?
Oh my God, cut a promo on my pussy.
I felt bad for Mustafa. Mustafa was like, I didn't even do anything. I didn't even get to talk. I was just standing here, man. I was just standing here.
I feel bad for me and Danielle because I think it made us feel feelings.
I just, that whole ring, I feel like needed to be aired out after he was done.
Everyone in the crowd just lit a cigarette and they were just like, okay.
Like, y'all good? Because I'm good. Y'all want some In-N-Out? Like, what are we doing?
He really just went in, just like aired out the whole building. Like, he just like literally shot up the club. Like, damn, like, Joe, man, come on, man.
Julian, can our first t-shirt please be cut a promo on my pussy? Is that possible? Can we do that?
Gronk and Duncan didn't.
Look, I don't think any of us would argue against Samoa Joe being a great mic worker. He's so good on the stick and also very good in the ring. Mm. However, at this point, has his character, in terms of how he has been portrayed, does that line up? Like, he comes in, cuts. I don't think this is the promo of his lifetime. It is a great 5-star promo. I think to say that would be like, he can't do this anytime he wants.
Oh, I think that's just him getting up, going to work.
Exactly.
Like, he's that good.
Yeah.
But anytime he's in a big match, he loses. He loses time and time again. Mm-hmm. That's all he's done on the main roster. So for me as a fan, even as like a guy who's like, I want to be a smart fan, I want to know what's going on. But for me as a fan, just this character, I love everything about him except how often he loses. And I don't feel he's a real threat, which maybe that's the point. Maybe that's because they're planning to switch the title onto him in some disputed way and make that a multi-person match. I don't know, but it feels like it has no teeth. Do you all feel that way as well?
I agree. And it's been this way. And we've always talked about like how poor the booking has been. And he's a Rusev where it's like he can do anything in any circumstances. Mm-hmm. So we always get our hopes up about it working out and it being like Samoa Joe's month or year or season or whatever. Uh-huh. And then it doesn't happen. And one of these days they have to pull the trigger on him, because I do feel like Samoa Joe is one of those dudes where he will straight up leave.
Same. It's like, you're doing so well. So like, when do I get rewarded for my work? I mean, he's patient too, like, so it's just like, when does my time come? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm exceeding what I'm supposed to be doing. So when do I get my shine? It's been like, what, is it two years now? Is it going on 2 years that he's been called up?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, if we're playing like the patient game, right, like, all right, everything in due time, but like, damn, man, like, the smoke is going off. Like, when does it happen for him? So I'm hoping maybe now, finally, This is his reign now.
Yeah, I just think that he's one of these people that gets taken for granted, because they know at any point they can heat him up and something can happen with him. And so they keep being like, oh, well, we still have Joe if anything goes wrong. We still have Joe if anything goes wrong. We still have Rusev if anything goes wrong. We still have all of these people. You know, we still have Nakamura. We still have any of these people that we can heat up at any second. And it's like, y'all gotta stop taking these talents that you have for granted. Like, we're not in a place, I think, right now with the industry where you can really feel comfortable doing that.
Yes.
Well, now, speaking of Nakamura, he's now in a tag team with Rusev, and Rusev's now a heel again.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Is he going to become?
I don't know.
Is he going to become the Big Show?
Rusev?
Where they turn him?
Yeah, Strowman is the Big Show. So,
yeah.
I didn't hate it. The thing I hated, well, no, I did hate it. But the thing I hated about it was, yeah. Okay, to clarify, the thing I hated was, foreigners, let's put foreigners together and have them be bad guys. And I'm like, oh, come on. But then I also got to see Nakamura fight the club. So that made me really happy. Mm-hmm. That gave me joy. I enjoyed Lana motivating Nakamura. I thought that was pretty good fun. I just want to know why and if there's a reason. I mean, I would love to think they did take these two guys in and say, look, we have a plan. Maybe we're bringing Pete Dunne up. Maybe we have these guys in the main title right now. So you guys aren't going to work in any of those storylines, but we want you to be legitimate tag team contenders. We're trying to rebuild our tag team brand. We've got Shane and Miz, the champions. God. They're holding it for now, but we need a real story and a real plan, and you guys have beef with them. So like, maybe that's where we go from here. I'd love that to be the truth, but I don't know if it was just like, we have these two guys who are kind of popular and silly and weird, and they're both foreign, so now they're a thing.
I think that would be, I mean, I would like to think, also being optimistic that with them introducing the women's tag team titles, it's a chance for them to invigorate all of the tag titles. It can be a shot in the arm for the tag division. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I'm really hoping that that's what they're going to do.
And look at Sheamus and Cesaro. They came together after they've been fighting each other.
True story.
That's how they became a tag team, and that's worked out for them.
That was
and
now we get kilts. Great story.
Yeah.
But they were fighting for a title shot.
Yes, they were. It was their best of seven, and they tied. But you know, Rusev and Nakamura have had this messiness over the U.S. title, so they have this contention that's brought them to be in the same place at the same time. So I don't think it can't work. I just want to see how it's gonna work.
Oh my God, I want more than anything. Okay, so bring out, I can't think of his name right now, I'm the worst. Bring out Home Dude, who does the live violin. Have him come out, do the violin. Have Lana come out, do interpretive dance.
Doing some sweet ballet.
Doing some sweet, sweet yes. ballet. Maybe some ballet hip hop, because that's her weird thing. It's weird, but it's what she does. It's fine. And then you can have the Rusev and the Nakamura come out and both do their version of the Nakamura entrance.
Yes.
Give me this before I die.
Yes. It's not too much to ask for.
I 90% guarantee you they'll ruin this. And that's just track record. That's just track record.
Me and Omar are here to be the 10% cheerful, optimistic people.
Let's move elsewhere in SmackDown and talk about something happy, which is Becky Lynch smacking the taste out of Triple H's mouth.
I did
After she smacked around his wife on Raw.
Oh, give it to me.
Everybody gets it.
Right in my cup so I can drink it up.
A lot of this feels like a backdoor way to put Charlotte into the match, especially after she came out at the beginning of SmackDown as sort of Triple H's lapdog.
I do like that Triple H was like, this ain't got nothing to do with you, girl.
Yeah.
Go back home.
Yeah, but she listened. So she's trying to, like, ingratiate her way into the... She's going to become...
She's doing what she's doing really well.
Yes,
and she looked
she's great.
Amazing.
She looked amazing.
She looked incredible.
Her
last
new gear
night.
Is fantastic.
New gear, her new
her
hair.
New makeup and everything.
Everything
her heel
so
hair and her heel
perfect.
Makeup is fantastic.
And it's that smarmy...
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen her be cocky, arrogant, and it's just that she deserves everything. She's seen her be super entitled before, but seeing this new smarmy, like, I'm with you guys, Charlotte, I'm kind of like, oh, I'm into this.
I like this.
Yeah, because she needs to change it up to get into this match and to make us care about her being in this match, because she's going to be. So let's all just accept it now and try and move past our feelings. And I just think this is a really good way of doing it, is to change her up, to make her slightly different. We don't get a repeat of what we saw with Becky, Charlotte, Carmella. We're going to get something else if I can get a different Charlotte. So I'm into it.
Yeah, and she's been really great on social media.
Omar, do you also prefer a one-on-one match between Lynch and Rousey?
I think to keep everyone engaged, it's smart in a way to be like, oh man, I really hope Charlotte be in it, will she not? But I think I would like just this one-on-one because that's what we wanted to see before back at, what was it, when she was injured for SummerSlam, was it?
Survivor mm-hmm. Series.
Yeah.
Survivor Series, my fault. But I mean, it would be incredible with Charlotte there, but I really like, it's what Becky's been saying all along. Like, you keep waking your way into my moments. I did this, and everything keeps getting handed to you. It would be like a lot if it's just those two headlining. I think it would be great.
Yeah. Let's switch over to Raw, where Dean Ambrose, amid all the word that he's leaving in a couple months, interrupted a moment of bliss, the Lexa interviewing EC3,
and he said
this.
I'm going to take over this interview now, okay? I got some rapid-fire questions.
Get them, Dean.
Who are you? What does EC3 mean? Where are EC1 and 2?
Those questions have been answered.
At home and dead.
Who does your hair? Are you a Creed fan? You look like a Creed fan to me. Why do you hang around backstage like some kind of mute Chippendale dancer instead of getting in that ring?
Oh! EC3 had heard enough.
He just decked Ambrose.
I'm going to have to work on those interview skills with him.
Renee.
The best.
Renee saves the day.
I like this version, but I mean, it feels like he is on his way out, but I like this version of Dean, like where he's just like, he's like the quips and the quick wit. I like this version of him. It's the honor, right? You do the job out and everything. But I also wonder who's going to say something first, EC3 or Tamina, because like he's almost catching up with this point. <being quiet. laughs> I love EC3. I'm waiting for him to be there. And I mean, who better? It's such like a monkey's paw thing. Like, oh, EC3 gets up, but like, damn, Dean, man. But I hope this Dean keeps, like, if he gets to be this way, like just shooting off like how he wants.
I hate the things he said are going to stick.
Yeah.
And Vince is going to be like, he doesn't like a Chippendale dancer.
Fantastic.
And that just made me uncomfortable. It wasn't the Dean of it that upset me. It was the fact that it was being directed at EC3 the way of what he was saying.
Who had not spoken a word on live television yet.
It was weird that he came out to do the interview in his gear when he's been shown in all of his promos in a suit. So that already felt kind of odd.
Right.
Then they played this really weird sexual tension angle between him and Alexa, which was
odd. Don't need it.
No,
don't want
didn't
it.
Need it. Didn't like nope. it. Didn't want it. They're both better than that. It was unnecessary. And they had him being kind of goofy, like doing his little dance on the edge of his chair. Like I don't know if he was genuinely nervous or uncomfortable in some way. It seems like he wouldn't be. But then to have Dean come out and make fun of him takes away his legitimacy, takes away his power.
Because he hasn't really done...
No, he hasn't done anything yet.
He hasn't done anything, so you can't chop his legs out when he hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah.
He's coming in as a blank slate. That he did nothing really of note in NXT. The assumption should be, for fans watching the show, that they've never seen TNA in their lives. Yeah. And why on earth would they? All they know so far is, if they've seen the video packages, EC3 is short-term
mostly
renting.
Rockstar Spud related.
He's renting a place at Archstone Apartments that he has not yet furnished.
He's starring in a porno.
He's got he's either going
to
masturbate
in Florida now
on camera.
Since we started doing those condom laws in California.
He's like, listen, I'm going to cut a promo on that pussy. 100%. Full blast. Braun Strowman and Kurt Angle have finally gotten their revenge on Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin.
Oh, God.
Can this be over?
Yes,
that's
please.
My question.
Why does he still dress like he owns a nightclub in Miami?
I'm 90% sure that you just cast Baron Corbin as a diaphragm.
Yeah. He does look like Pitbull's uncle.
He does.
He's Mr. Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
If he has any other role at WrestleMania other than being Pitbull or Flo Rida's hype man, I won't go.
Yeah, no, thank
I
you.
I won't go.
His song doesn't match his gear either. That's another thing. Like, it's a weird, like, what is your character now? Because your song doesn't match. It was like when Randy Orton first got the voices thing, and it was like, that doesn't match his character. Then he like morphed into it, but like Baron's like, he's morphing out of his character now. So it's like, what? I don't get it.
Like,
I don't get it.
You a lone wolf and not lower middle management? I don't understand.
His gear makes it look like he's wrestling on his breaks from Hula Hands.
Yes!
It does look that way. Like, he smells like old French onion soup. You just know from looking at him. That shirt is not, no matter how many times you launder it, the grease never goes away.
But he's great at taking care of that line at Islands.
He's really, really good.
I mean, he will get you seated in the next 5 minutes. It's fine. Just take the little buzzing thing.
While he's... Do not come before that buzzer goes off, though.
He should have one of those.
What would they do?
Put him in a tag team, if it is Drew McIntyre, and he gives Drew McIntyre one of those buzzers, and when the buzzer goes off, that's when he tags him. That's when Drew knows it's his time to come in.
Okay, I want that so bad, because you could actually put that on those LED posts.
And then every time they win, they get a new button for their vest. Yeah. Until they fill up their Flair collection.
I'm the new Ric Flair. Just about next year's Royal Rumble. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. all right. Let's talk. Asuka had a promo video this week. So a lot of the attention in the women's division has been given to the upcoming tag titles, rightfully so, and the story between Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair. Where does we'll start with you, Omar. Where does Asuka fit in all of this as we head towards WrestleMania? Does she feel like the odd woman out?
I think it's what they should be doing. What they're only bringing her in, like, not like Brock Lesnar, but like, it's okay to have her miss some weeks so that when she is there, it's more special and it's more like it's a bigger build. It feels like it's what they should have done with her a while ago, after the streak or something like that, because she lost so much. Now it's kind of like, all right, well, let's keep her away, and now we can, like, you know, now she's got the title again. These small appearances, these packages here, like almost like not a rebranding, but like I guess a repackaging in a sense, just to build her up again. I like that. That I think is a good idea with keeping her away. And also, like, when you start thinking about where's Asuka, she'll just be back on another match killing somebody else. Like, oh yeah, she's a killer. That's all you need to be reminded of her.
Yeah.
Gotcha. What do you think?
I don't hate it because I agree with Omar on that. There's so much going on with the women. Becky is on both shows. They are building that match because they have to. If it is going to be the main event of WrestleMania, or now as we're saying, a main event of WrestleMania, they need that to be... I don't want to sacrifice Asuka or Asuka's time, Asuka's importance, Asuka's relevance, but that match, so much hangs on it, and it's like historical importance hangs on it. So that needs the time. Plus, we're also trying to introduce the women's tag team, and that is going to take up a lot of time.
Yes.
So for me, I'm fine with them taking her out, putting on these awesome promos where they build her up to look like such a powerful, intimidating machine that she can just come in and kill. and that you're not ready and no one expects it. And she's so enigmatic and exciting that we can just do these videos. And then I would have her come back after Elimination Chamber when the field is clear again. But then they need to work so hard to establish her a story for Mania.
Agreed.
Because right now everyone's trying for the tag belt, right? Like the whole division is hitting up these women's tag belts. So there's no one for her to feud with. And until you have a legit awesome feud, she should stay away because I don't want her just floating around.
Finally, one more item. Big report going around that Seth Rollins could be working hurt as he prepares for his Universal title match at Mania.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, I feel like he's always working hurt.
He works hurt.
Like that boy is just constantly slightly broken.
He doesn't have to be on camera wrestling a ton because he's wrestling a guy who's not on camera really ever.
Yeah.
So he can just come out and cut promos. What do you think the chances are he'll be close to 100% by the time we hit WrestleMania?
I bet he'll be fine. Again, because you're right. When you're wrestling someone who already has a limited schedule, all he has to do is come out, cut some promos, rehab, maybe take a couple of spears or a suplex or something. But mostly it'll give him a chance to kind of rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I think he'll be maybe not 100% because none of them ever are.
No.
From the first time they walk into a ring, but probably like the 85% they all aspire to be.
Yeah, but he won't miss it. There's no way he's going to miss it.
No way.
I interviewed him before Mania in, I think it was, I want to say Orlando it was, and he was really sick. It was the day before at the press junket at Radio Row, and he was so ill. He had a raging cold. He was like chugging back energy drinks and vitamin C drinks and stuff, and he still did Radio Row because he didn't want to miss the chance to talk to everybody. And we were are you going to be okay for the match? And he was like, I will not miss this match, and I will never miss this match. And I'm like, oh, you mean this, and you feel this forever. You just like signed a contract in your own blood. He's not going to miss it.
Right.
They could give him a wooden leg on the day and he'd be like, I'll work it in. That guy cares too much about what he does.
Yeah, seriously, Colby.
Omar, since we only have you for this week, I want to get your thoughts. Do you think Seth Rollins is the right guy to take the title off of Brock Lesnar?
It makes sense. He's the fighting guy. He's been there long. It's not like a reward. He's earned it. Seth is the only one now after Finn lost. He's the only one that it makes the most sense for in my eyes, I guess. He's also a workhorse. It's another story too, because you're kind of like taking the reins from Roman, and now you're the guy. So what will happen when Roman comes back, however many years later? That's going to be like an interesting dynamic between them as well. I think it's good for story.
All right. Let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed so far at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. When we come back, we'll talk about the build towards the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Hey everyone, it's John Roderick from the Friendly Fire Podcast, here with Adam Pranica and Ben Harrison.
When was the last time you really liked watching a war film? With Friendly Fire, you get to do it with us!
Yeah, you don't even necessarily have to have seen the movie to get a lot out of an episode of Friendly Fire.
In many cases, we would recommend that you not watch the movie because there are some really, really bad war movies, but a bad war movie makes a great war movie podcast.
And in all cases, we recommend you listen to our show. So subscribe and download to Friendly Fire wherever you get your podcasts.
To the victor, go the spoiler alerts.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk
and
Omar Holman.
This week, we want to give one part of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock.
Whoa! Oh!
In just a few weeks, WWE will crown its inaugural Women's Tag Team Champions. So, now that we've had a few weeks to let it all settle in, how excited are you, number one, for the tag titles to finally be here? I know we've talked about them a lot on this podcast and wanting them.
Yeah, we were.
And what are your hopes for where they may end up immediately? We're going to talk a little bit later where we want to be down the line, but what do you want to happen immediately after? Where do you see it going? Because there's only one set of tag championships. Danielle, you've been talking about this longer than anybody that I know, so please.
I know that this is going to be one of those things where everyone's going to be like, what? I love Sasha and Bayley. I want them on the Iconics. Put them on an actual tag team that has been working together as a team.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree. And I want them to be really cowardly and sneaky and hold on to them because they are so precious for so long. I want them to like really cherish it. And I think it would play into their gimmick so well.
And they love each other so much too. And like for them, honestly, for me, I feel like them getting the tag team titles is like would be their friendship version of getting married. And like I feel like the show would treat it that way.
Yeah.
And come on, how badly do you want that?
And it's safer on SmackDown.
I want the consummation of their true love and friendship to be with these two tag titles. Come on.
Yeah. And I think you've also got Mandy and Sonya over there who are more of a tag team than not. There's a lot more opportunity. I think they do need to bring some women up to flesh out.
Well, I'm wondering what I would like, honestly, I like the idea that you have one set of titles, but you have two full-ass divisions on both shows actively fighting for it. As we've seen this week with Becky going back and forth and back and forth, I know it can be a lot, but it's kind of exciting to have some people be able to bop back and forth. You don't want to do it all the time because then it gets really stale and lame, but especially going into this Fox thing, I think that builds extra excitement to be able to have people kind of bop back and forth.
First of all, 100% agree. I think the Iconics are the right choice to put the titles on because they are the perfect sort of chicken shit heels.
Yep.
And it's a great story between the two of them, and it gives you a ton of options for who can challenge them, heel and face alike, because they can just be hated by everybody.
Yeah, because literally the only people they love is each other.
But I think the way it works best, and then Omar, I want to hear what you think, obviously. I think the way it works best is you go month by month. So the first month you have it's the tag division on SmackDown, let's say. So everybody on SmackDown is trying to become the number one contender, and then you have a program there. Meanwhile, on Raw, that tag division is shuffling and wrestling one another for the right to be the next person up.
I don't disagree with that.
The next team up.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that could be great.
Omar, what do you think?
You want the women's tag team titles on the Iconics. You gotta be joking me! I can't do her accent. I am horrible at the accent.
I'm great at him. I'm actually Lindsay. People don't know this.
I don't exist.
And then Lindsay is just doing mine, so she's just adding extra R's to everything. It's very neat.
And I'm a hologram.
A hologram?
I'm a hologram.
Oh.
But, oh, so who do you put him on?
I didn't actually think about the Iconics until Danielle broke it down like that. I'm like, damn, she's right. Because I've been following like Sasha and Bayley so much. And I know that, you know, they're actual friends, are part of the Four Horsewomen. And like, all right, they decided, hey, we want to do this together. And I like the whole like, they show like, you know, video of them training to be tag team. I'm a sucker for that build. I'm a sucker for that, like that build. Like, all right, let's become this thing. So it's like this building to... Like, they're unifying their styles together as a tag team as opposed to the Iconics who, like, already are. I would have Bayley and Sasha win it and then have the Iconics, like, kind of steal it from them because I got to go with Bayley and Sasha, man. I want it for them so badly.
Look, I get it. I get it. I feel so bad recommending things against my wife, but
yeah,
sometimes...
How is this going to go at dinner time? How is she going to feel?
Yeah, she hears this. She listens.
I have to go and pick up more Instapot liners. I'll make her some Instapot protein and we'll just talk it out.
So here are all the teams. Just to recap, we've talked about the Iconics, the Boss and Hug Connection. We've talked a little bit about Absolution. We've also got Riot Squad and Naya and Tamina.
I do want to say, and I try and be a voice of positivity in the world, but sweet Jesus, when Mandy Rose and Sonya announced their new tag team name, I was a little bit upset.
You don't like
and they had Absolution already, and instead we're going with Fire and Desire.
Yeah. Huh.
That's a thing. That's a romance.
That's
novel,
what we used to do. It's an actual song.
Can't they
and
do
it's
the?
It's not okay. Yeah. It's not okay.
That's the name for a tag team between Rick Martel and Adam Bomb. That's Fire and Desire right there. That's what it is.
It just pisses me off, and there's no need. And if you're gonna have them be a tag team and have them taken seriously, give them team music. Don't make them come out to a song that goes, Mandy. Because that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to make Sonya have to come out to that nonsense.
This is progress.
Yes.
Women's tag titles are great. Historically, WWE has done a poor job of booking its women.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And a a terrible job, separately, a terrible job of booking tag teams.
Yep.
Omar, is this a case where those two negatives can somehow be multiplied by one another to create a positive?
I hope so. I really hope so, but I don't know. Because, like, all right, you have this now, because you're going to have to build more. You're going to need more women to become tag teams as well. Mm-hmm. But we saw how you failed with the men. So what will make it – my question is, like, how will you not fail with the women's now instead, like, once he, like, gets – I guess once it gets cold. Because, like, once they have the title, it's like, all right, we have it. Now what? I just – y'all been snatching my hope already, man, because I know –
Sorry, it's what
no,
we do.
No, you don't have to have – we all – look, two-thirds of us in this podcast always have hope.
Am I one of the two-thirds?
No.
Well, some of the time, Hal.
What will let us look back in a year and say this was successful? What happens over the course of the year? Is it marquee matches? Is it continually keeping on television? Is it managing?
It definitely needs to be pushed front and center. I need to see it. Mm-hmm. I want to see it, and I want to see it fought over. I want to see women genuinely fighting over it without mm-hmm. ridiculous yeah. angles that involve dudes ever.
Ever.
I have so much hope. I am so concerned that this is going to be relegated to a pre-show title, mm-hmm. That they aren't going to have enough women to support a tag team belt and the two main belts and do it with the respect and credibility they all deserve.
Right.
And they do have these incredible women, but they don't give them the time. So this is the thing. It needs time. That's what I think it needs more than anything else. Uh-huh. They need to commit and dedicate to giving all three women's championships time.
Okay.
And they haven't even committed to giving the two women's belts time.
Exactly.
Just like you said with how they were keeping Asuka off for a while, and then, like, well, you know, with the whole video and packaging and everything like that, maybe it's the same thing. When Asuka's not there, then you have the tag titles front and center. Have them, like, all right, for a couple weeks or whatever. And then you can give them, like, give them the night off. Asuka's there, like, maybe on and off that way. It's like, oh, that way it keeps it in focus. And it gets people, like, you know, off time and, like, lets them go away for a while so they can be missed and shit like that. And the other women that are tagging together build up so they can, when they challenge for those titles, all right, we're here. You can square up now.
I do understand that, and I completely understand where that's coming from. But then I'm just like, I don't feel like ladies should have to go away to make time for the boys because they're not going to take the boys off. That's not what you're saying at all. And that's probably what they're going to do. They're going to be like, well, ladies, you wanted these. Like, these are your choices now.
This is the only time you can get a second storyline.
Yeah.
But what Omar said is something that I had the same thought, and I think you stumbled into, and me as well, is this idea that we're conditioned. WWE's conditioned us to, if there's a show, you're lucky if 20% of the time is given to women. That is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the times when it does it feels like a very special episode.
Yep.
30 minutes per night, how are they going to make all this work? The answer is, you don't need Jeff Jarrett out there. He does nothing.
Yep.
You know.
And Road Dogg now.
And Road Dogg now. Wasn't that fun for everyone?
In a New Jersey.
We're finally getting that mid to late 90s storyline that they never were able to follow
and
through.
And thank God I'm getting Shane McMahon on TV, although I think he wasn't on last night, right? He's probably broken. Buying some new jeans.
I feel like I pitched this on a podcast like a month or so ago because I thought it would be funny. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff Jarrett? Well,
This is
the benefit of experience.
You wanted Jeff Jarrett.
2020.
But I thought it would be funny. I wasn't pitching it as a real... Okay.
No, this is what we... This right, people, Julian, have to be careful what they ask for.
Yeah, Julian.
On podcasts and the internet.
I never wanted Jeff Jarrett back, to be perfectly honest.
It would be funny. I didn't think they'd actually do
it.
Nah,
man.
Did you say Jeff Jarrett's name while doing curls into a mirror 5 times? Is that what you did, Julian?
Listening to the song on his Apple Watch.
Yeah. You listen to My Baby Tonight.
Hearing Road Dogg say Shiznit.
Everything hurts. Everything hurts. We don't even do that now. It made sense when we were doing that for radio edits.
Listen.
Women's tag belt, yay!
If you've got any thizzots on the women's tag titles, let us know about them at facebook.com/groups, /tightsfights, and @tightsfights on Twitter and Instagrism. When we come back, we've got some thizzings from the world of wrestling that you should know about. That Shiznit's up next on Tights and Fights.
Designs into tights.
Word.
Hey, Hey, it's Janet Varney of the JV Club podcast, and I am so excited to be joining Maximum Fun. If you're not yet familiar with the JV Club, it's a podcast with me and some of my favorite women, and in the summer, men, as we explore the highs and lows of our terrible teenage years into what I like to call our adult lessons. For example, you can hear about Allison Brie's humiliating moment at a gymnastics competition. You can hear about Jesse Thorne's incredibly salty language in English class. Or you can let Busy Phillips tell you how she met Sharon Stone at an Arizona toy fair, somehow. You can join me and all my once awkward friends every Thursday by subscribing to the JV Club at MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelp
and
Omar Holman.
Every week we end the show by sharing the joy of pro wrestling with you. Well, most times we do. This is the five count. You heard me right. In honor of Big E, we're doing a five count today. And everybody else who did that gimmick. Let's start with our guests. You're up first, Omar. What do you want to put over?
The women's division. Ember Moon. Everybody in it. Because that's the whole reason I watch wrestling for now. Well, at least WWE. That's all.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's great.
Enough said. Enough said. Give me more. Give me more.
All right. Danielle, what do you want to put over?
Okay, I'm putting over two things. First of all, I'm putting over, it's quick, Mustafa Ali putting up that picture of him with a busted ass eye.
Ooh, ow. I saw that.
Love you, Mustafa Ali. Thank you for showing us this thing.
I mean, what if he had a contact lens in on that thing?
Very painful. And then secondly, I am putting over the campaign for Drew Gulak to join NXT.
Yes. Oh, this is what's going to get Hal's asking the universe for a favor.
For Gulak?
Yeah. Surely.
Listen, he will rise to the top. He is cream.
You already believe.
He is cream Abdul-Jabbar. He will rise to the top and be a legend.
Of the crop.
The captain of my heart. Lindsay.
I am going to put over the Worlds Collide tournament that was on the network and on .com last weekend. If you haven't seen it, the special presentation that was on the network is great. It's a condensed version, so it just shows you some of the highlight matches. The rest of the matches are online. It was really, really fun to see people fight who don't usually fight, so I really enjoyed that. They put Devitt over really hard. He looked amazing. Dream obviously looked amazing. It's just a really, really fun way to spend a couple of hours if you want to see some of the guys from NXT UK, NXT Regular, and 205. Although, also do a small cry when you realize they put NXT way ahead of all the 205 guys when they come out. You're like, aww, they work here too. But it was a pretty good way to spend a couple of hours.
Drew Gulak for NXT.
Forever.
Always.
In honor of tag teams in Elimination Chamber matches, I want to put over the 2015 tag team Elimination Chamber match, which featured a heel New Day team with their newly won titles. It is a great match. I believe it is the last match that Tyson Kidd. That was his last major match with Cesaro. Because
he got
team,
put out in a dark match,
which
right?
was a great team. Yeah, yeah, he got put out after that. But great match, top to bottom. Really worth watching. And if you haven't seen, or if you're like, I don't know how a tag match in Elimination Chamber is going to work or how it can work, that is a great example, a great blueprint for future matches. And I said it was a five count. Julian, you have something to put over.
Yeah, I am going to give a shout out to our listener, Cantrale Amos. He was a really nice dude. He messaged me. He's part of the Facebook group and said, hey, I really like drawing wrestlers and I really like working off of photo stuff. So I could really use some inspiration. So what would you want me to draw? So I sent him a picture of when Eddie Guerrero won the championship. And he's like, it's always stuck with me ever since I was a kid. I wasn't even watching wrestling that much at this point, but I had to see Eddie holding the Mexican flag and the WWE title as everybody celebrated around him. So I sent him that and he sent me a really, really cool, image that he did.
Yeah,
it's so cool. I sent it to you guys. I'm going to link to all of his stuff, but on Instagram he is, let me check, also underscore obscuro, which, if you speak Spanish, that means, dark bear, I believe. I'll just turn in my brown card if I got that wrong. But,
yes, Afro Latino. Get your Afro Latino out.
But that is so great. I really appreciate it, Cantrale. I can't wait to link to all your stuff, and you guys should all go check him out. He's awesome.
Great. One thing, and I will, I guess this is a really quick club. I don't know when it's going to come out, but I got to talk a lot about Eddie Guerrero on a popular thing for College Humor, and I will let y'all know when it's out.
Oh, hey. Nice.
Omar, thank you so much for joining us. You, of course, work at Black Nerd Problems.
Woo!
Yep.
The popular website. Please tell everybody, what do you want them to read, listen to, watch? Where can they follow you? The floor is yours.
Oh, man. You can go. Too much pressure. I feel like Rhonda. You can just follow us at Black Nerd Problems, blacknerdproblems.com, or on Twitter. We have a bunch of stuff up talking about Netflix shows, comic books. We got recaps. We got comic book reviews even more, and other fun essays and stuff we joke on pop culture. You can follow the website there. You can follow me at Omar Holman, OmarHolmon. I talk about poetry, wrestling, and more pop culture.
Fantastic.
Pop culture!
Pop culture! Folks, if you're a wrestling fan and you're in the Bay Area of Florida, come to Pensacon. It is, wow, now it is in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from this coming weekend. I will be there. I'm going to be moderating a Q&A with Diamond Dallas Page. I think that's the case. I might be, who knows, I might be having a chat with Christian. Who knows? I don't know what I'm doing. I may be doing either of those things. I am doing, I'm going to be improvising with my pals Mark Gagliardi and Craig Kukowski from the Thrilling Adventure Hour. I'll be signing stuff. Come hang out, pensacon.com. It is legitimately a fantastic time and like one of the top cons in the country for me. I just think it's great. Top to bottom production from Mike, Steve, Kat, the whole crew. And that is it for me promotionally, Danielle.
No, that was it. I mean, follow me on Patreon, find me on Screen Junkies, and hopefully soon other things. Like I said, I will let y'all know. Oh, if you do have a College Humor Dropout, you can find me on the latest episode of Actually, where apparently I said something I don't remember saying because I taped it a million years ago that people keep sending to me. That was funny. Eventually, I will be on Dropout, I believe, talking about a bunch of different stuff. So, yay.
All right. Lindsay, books?
Books. I'd love it if you bought some books. I mean, preferably mine, but also all books. Books are good for you, everyone. They're great.
Full Coverage Beauty Podcast?
Full Coverage Beauty Podcast, I've heard, is excellent content.
Also, how do you feel about people reading the last chapter of a book before they
I don't feel great about
read?
It, Danielle. I don't feel amazing about it. But as long as you bought that book and the author made royalties, then you do you.
Don't do that in the one Barnes & Noble that's left, you guys. Buy the book first.
Our producer is Julian Burrell. I don't know what he's doing in Smash Brothers right now because he didn't give me a script for this part.
Hashtag plant gang rise up.
Hashtag plant gang rise up. Oh, he's got the plant. I don't have that fucking plant yet. Whatever. He says I got it in email. I can't prove that. I don't know. Maybe I'll have the plant next time. Who knows? I'll still suck at the game. Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. Thank you so much for that, Mike. We miss you. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram. And hey, if you love the podcast, why don't you give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts? Share us with all your friends. Leave a review. Tell people what you love about the show. And an extra special thank you to the Maximum Fun members who have a portion of their recurring monthly contribution. Keep the lights on when we're in here doing our thing. All right, that's it. We cut a promo on that pussy. We are out of here. We're going to be talking some more wrestling next week on Tights and Fights. Bye.
Bye.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.